Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I have some really cool articles today. Been doing research all morning. Have some exciting stuff for you guys. And it's a great day down here at Health Masters, as always, blessed as can be. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Absolutely wonderful, Austin. I mean, it's been raining a little bit today, kind of a weird day, kind of a muddy day. But that's okay. I like it when it rains. It keeps things a lot cooler down here, so I'm good with all that. So, yeah, this is a great day. By the way, Drudge, the ultimate, propaganda outlet for what the New World Order wants to have done, is now putting a thing in from USA Today on their website. It says, booming measles cases rocket towards a new record, up nearly 100 since last week. And I almost got nauseous. I almost threw up. I just almost had enough. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said 465 cases have been confirmed in 19 states in the United States. The highest total since measles was declared eliminated. Here we go. Here we go. Here's the lie. Here we go. Get ready for the lie. The highest total since measles was declared eliminated almost two decades ago. Unbelievable. Let's talk about reality here. Let's talk about the 60s. Let's talk about almost every single person in a school, in a county, in a state with measles. Let's talk about hundreds of thousands of people with measles at one time every single year, as the new batch of young children would be exposed to measles and would basically get permanent lifetime immunity and never have to take an MMR shot. Here's the problem, guys, that we talk about all the time. This is propaganda. Booming measles cases rocket towards new record. They don't bother to tell you this from 20 years ago when they started this record going on. Total, complete lies. The MMR vaccine are live viruses. This is what's happening. People are shedding these things and giving people measles, including the people who've already had the vaccine. You don't get immunity from measles with a vaccine. You don't. They need to stop this horrible thing with this massive increase of autism and learning disability in children and just let nature run its course. Let everybody get the mumps. Let everybody get the measles. Provide them good health care. It'd be a lot less dramatic and dangerous to the economy and to the population without a bunch of kids coming down with autism and all kinds of learning disabilities from these shots. Guys, so important that you don't listen to the propaganda site Drudge. Be very careful when you go to places like this. Drudge and Breitbart, we went back a few weeks ago and we went into detail who runs all of these things with you guys, and not to listen to them and believe them unless it's an article that's neutral. This is not neutral. This is one of those, again, total propaganda lies. Remember, guys, your body will develop natural immunity to measles. You get a little bit of fever for a couple of days. You don't feel good. Same thing with chickenpox. And that's the end of it. It's like it's no big deal. We used to have measles parties and chickenpox parties when we were in school back in the 60s. Why? Because we just want to get it over with, be done with this nonsense once and for all, and not have to deal with it. But then when O'Regan decided to not have anybody have any problems as far as being sued, you know, when they could produce any vaccine they wanted. And listen to this. Stop for a second. See, he's covered this before. Okay, I'm going to cover it one more time. It's going to say a little different this time. What Reagan gave these guys was the ability to lie without repercussion. They could lie in their research. They could lie on their statistics. They could lie on their formulation. They could lie on the product if it was contaminated. They could lie about everything about this product. Everything can be a lie. It can be linked to huge death rates, huge autism rates, huge all kinds of disease rates, and they can't be held accountable. What kind of crap is that? That's what he did. I believe he did it in kind of a senile stupor with being under drugs from being shot and George Bush running the White House, but that's how he got it through. It went through with Reagan, the Vaccine Immunity Compensation Act, or whatever the heck it was called, setting up that vaccine fund for all the kids that were brain damaged from vaccines, just to make sure the entire population could acquire herd immunity. Yeah, how's that herd immunity working out now with measles around the country? Complete and total nonsense. And the mumps is the big problem. I talked about this the other day. Mumps makes guys sterile if they get it as an adult. That's why they try to have little mumps parties for everybody when we were kids, so they wouldn't have to deal with all this. Unbelievable. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
Well, that's very well said, and what's interesting, if you really want to look at some numbers on it, you can look back, as again, I've talked about this so many times, in 2015, when a worker with the CDC actually came out and said that a huge portion of the individuals that were contracting and showing measles symptoms in 2015 were the individuals that got the MMR vaccination because they were injected with a live virus. It shed the live virus, thereby giving them the measles, and then they were actually giving it to other people. As we have seen right now this year, because of this propaganda scare, the MMR vaccination rate has gone through the roof, with a huge, huge amount of the population has gone in and gotten booster shots, gotten MMR shots for their children, and so forth. And now at the exact same time, we're seeing the measles rate go up again at the exact same time. So not hard to correlate these two together and see exactly what's going on. Use your brain. Make sure you look what's going on from an outside perspective. Whatever you do is 100% your choice. Let me clarify that. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to Dad. You don't have to listen to CNN. You don't have to listen to CDC. You don't listen to anybody. You have the right to do whatever you want to do with your body in that aspect. I want to clarify that real quick, because this is a topic that really is the base of what this is coming down to. Your freedom, your liberty is yours and yours alone. You do not have to be forcibly mandated to have a vaccine and be shot up. That's why I was so glad yesterday. I told you guys it was exciting in New York. The Supreme Court judge over there basically overturned Ed Day's ruling of the quarantining of anybody that wasn't vaccinated. This is because that is your choice to make. It is not involving any other person, regardless of what they lie to you, regardless of the propaganda and rhetoric they spew. It is your choice to make, and you do not have to inject yourself with toxic compounds like aborted fetal cells, tissue, aluminum, formaldehyde, thimerosal, and the list goes on, in order to be the greater good for humanity. It just does not go together. Freedom and liberty trump all of those. But also, too, other good news in health. This is exciting. I have gotten emails for years on tinnitus, which is phantom ringing of the ears. You guys have probably even, some of our listeners may even have it. I've got emails, I've got phone calls, everybody here in the office. Well, as a lot of you understand, there's really no exact cure for tinnitus. Most sufferers manage to get used to the sound over time. It affects about 10 to 15% of the adults, and it's a condition that causes essentially people to hear sounds that are not really there, including ringing, whistling, hissing, clicking, and so forth. It's most common in people older than 60, and it's said to affect around 50 million Americans. So this is a pretty big issue and makes you understand why I get so many emails on it. For the longest time, the only two products that we found really to have any effect was our B-complex and CoQ10. Those two, we kind of worked with some people on it, and it seemed to alleviate a lot of the issues, and they were able to deal with it if they had a little bit of it, and so they did. So B-complex and CoQ10 helped out to a degree, but there were some people that tried it that got, honestly, I'll be honest with you, they got no results from that whatsoever, except more energy, which is the B-complex will do that for you. Well, a new study that was just released by the Action and Hearing Loss Funding and was published in the Journal of Experimental Neurology offers new hope for tinnitus sufferers. The reason there's no treatment for the condition is it's poorly understood what actually causes it. The new studies went out to examine some of the mechanisms causing it, as well as possible treatments. The conversation explains, knowing that tinnitus as a phantom sound which does not exist in the outside world but is perceived, it suggests that somewhere in the brain there are cells that are generating a false signal in response to a sound which does not exist. All right. The researchers began their investigation with the dorsal cochlear nucleus, which is a brain structure to which the inner ear sends sounds. This premise was that continuous exposure to loud noises could compromise the ability of the cells in that nucleus to boost incoming signals. When they conducted an animal study to create tinnitus through several exposure to loud noises, their suspicions were confirmed. Exposure to loud sound therefore altered brain plasticity, leaving the nucleus in a compromised state. The study was able to determine that when a person is exposed to loud noises, there is a temporary loss of hearing. The dorsal nucleus tries to compensate by boosting its signal and then stores this signal like a memory. When the hearing loss reverses itself, the dorsal nucleus continues to boost its signal because of the memory signal which was stored, leading to tinnitus, where sounds are heard that are not really there. having determined what actually causes tinnitus in the first place, the researchers are able to determine that high doses of magnesium can prevent the dorsal nucleus from storing the fake memory in the first place and can reverse the nucleus from continuing to boost the signal because of the memory signal that it stored. The scientists are now searching for ways to elevate magnesium levels in the brain. Well, I hate to tell them, we've already figured that out with numerous research studies with the magnesium brain food that we put together with our patented MagTeen, which is the magnesium L-theanate. This right here, from what I'm seeing, I'm going to start recommending this to a lot of people that have tinnitus now and get some feedback on it, because what these researchers found was that high doses of magnesium really help reduce it. And so if we can actually start applying 4 to 5 grams of the magnesium theanate, this magnesium brain food that we have, there's a high probability that it is going to reduce the symptoms, if not eliminate the symptoms of tinnitus. So I'm throwing that out there right now, guys. This is a really new research study. I was excited when I saw it, simply for so many people that I've had to talk to over the years, and I don't like not having the answers to stuff, and when people don't get results that they want, it frustrates me, and tinnitus has been one of those things for me that I have not been able to figure out until today when I went through this research study. I saw it actually yesterday, but I really did some more research on it early this morning, so I'm suggesting that's what I think will help, this magnesium brain food. Give it a try. Let us know. Please give me your feedback on it if you give it a try. It's a perfect time to try it right now because it's on 15% off, which just happens to be the exact same time this research study came out, which is pretty cool. Give it a try. See if it works. Give us some feedback and let us know so we can continue to recommend this for other people, because I know a lot of the people that I've talked to with tinnitus, they say it's an absolute, basically it's a pain in the butt to deal with, or a pain in the ear, you can so to speak, because it doesn't go away, and some people it's worse than others. So this is something that's really exciting, Dad. If this actually works, a high dose of magnesium brain food, this is going to be an incredibly awesome, cost-effective option to hopefully get rid of tinnitus for a lot of these individuals that we've talked to in the past.
You know, magnesium is used in over 300 different biochemical reactions in the body. Now we're seeing that it helps the ears not to basically store this data as far as from a neurological standpoint. Remember, that goes right back to the fact that we're a giant energy field and a frequency, and now our ear wants to store certain data and continually replay it and amplify it. Really interesting study. But remember, magnesium it goes through the body, it goes through the kidneys, it's easily excreted. You can't get too much. It's very difficult to get enough through your digestive tract. Here's what I do. I soak my feet. I take the magnesium brain food. I take 4 scoops of that a day. I take 2 in the morning when I get up in the morning with my protein shake, and I take 2 at night before I go to bed, along with the total rest. What I do is when I go to bed, I take 2 scoops of magnesium brain food, 2 scoops of total rest, and about an hour, I take it like at 9 p.m., about an hour later, I'll take a melatonin, sublingual, let it dissolve on my tongue, and about another hour later, I take another melatonin, let it dissolve on my tongue, and I go to bed. And I sleep through the night, like 8 hours. I don't have to get up. My prostate's doing great. I take prostate support. So I'm able to sleep through the entire night. This morning I woke up at 7:30. I went to bed like at 11. Slept 8 hours, right straight through the night. Never had to get up once. And I'm 63 years old. So I've dialed that portion of it in. Now also, the magnesium chloride that's in the powder that we use for the bath salts and the foot soak salts for the magnesium soak that we have, the magnesium it's the salt that you soak your feet. You don't take it internally. That works very well too as far as transdermal absorption. And then I also take 4 to 5 magnesium capsules of glycinate every night before I go to bed. You say, why do you take? I take more magnesium, Austin, than any other product, except for that probably balances out with vitamin C. That's it. Those are the two that I take the most of all the time. Then I take about 1,600 IUs of vitamin E a day and about 100 milligrams of zinc. And, of course, I take my essential fats, my B-complex, and my multiple powder, my protein shake in the morning and all that. So I take a lot of supplements, but I always make sure I maintain the magnesium. And the other night it was funny because 2 nights in a row, Sharon had put away the magnesium brain food, which was on the counter, and the magnesium and the total rest. And so I didn't take them for 2 nights in a row. And both nights I had a horrible night's sleep, couldn't sleep, up and down, tossing and turning. I'm like, this is nuts. And finally, after the second night, I realized, shoot, Sharon put that stuff away. I forgot it. And I took it, you know, I started taking it again, immediately right back to sleep again. So if you want to sleep through the night like a baby, that's what we call it, sleep like a baby protocol, do it. Now, I want to talk about vitamin C for just 1 second. It's funny you were talking about the health stuff because I want to cover this today too. Who was Dr. Linus Pauling? Who was this guy? He worked on vitamin C, and he was also worked on orthomolecular medicine, which basically treating the body, I'm going to make this simple, orthomolecular medicine with nutrients rather than with drugs. In other words, if you've got a problem with a person who has cancer, use nutrients to take care of the cancer rather than drugs. If you have a person that has high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, use nutrients. That works well except for with juvenile diabetes, you know, type 1. But on April 9th, 1994, 25 years ago this Tuesday, Dr. Linus Pauling did his final interview. And what's interesting about this guy, he was amazing. He was up there with Albert Einstein and the rest of the guys. He was absolutely brilliant. His work in physics and chemistry revolutionized the modern understanding of those fields. His writings on the nature of the chemical bond and scientific articles and in book form are classics. Basically, he was the guy. Now, we're amazed. Every so often in a generation, you'll get a person like this. And he got 2 unshared Nobel Prizes. In 1968, he founded and named the emerging field of orthomolecular medicine, which holds that nutrition and high doses of vitamins in optimum amounts have a significant role in health promotion, prevention, and treatment. There you go. An excellent communicator, Paulo was a frequent guest on leading TV talk shows, and he also talked about vitamin C. He's the only person to win 2 unshared Nobel Prizes in chemistry in 1954 and in peace in 1962. Despite his unassailable reputation and accomplishments, the minute, listen to this, he began to put research and investigation into vitamin C and orthomolecular nutrients, he became a magnet for criticism, which continued till his death until 1994 at the age of 93. Now, remember, he started talking about this in the 60s, okay? In the 60s, he started doing orthomolecular medicine. Okay. He lived another 30 years after that. He was in his 60s when he basically started doing this, and along with the other doctors who were criticizing him, they were in their 40s and 50s and 60s. Most of these other doctors all died long before him. Because remember, the average age of a medical doctor, in most cases, depending on how you look at the numbers, is around 57 years of age. Okay, well, that's awful. Well, for Pauling, it wasn't awful because these guys were 40 years dead by the time he was 93, and he was basically doing great still. And what's interesting about him, he really went into details as far as what happened with vitamin C and with animals and apes. He said apes produce their own vitamin C, you know, primates, in huge amounts. And if we had the amount of vitamin C they produce, because we don't do that, our liver doesn't do that. He said if we were producing the same amount of vitamin C they produce, we'd be having to take 10,000 to 12,000 milligrams a day. That's 10 to 12 grams. That's a lot. Very difficult to get into your system without having massive diarrhea. And so he started working with vitamin C in 1971, and he started working with another doctor by the name of Ewan Cameron. And he was the chief surgeon at Vale of Leven Hospital in Scotland. And Cameron gave 10 grams of C a day to patients with untreatable terminal cancer. These patients were then compared by Cameron to patients with the same kind of cancer at the same time. Pauling's talking. And they were treated in the same hospital by other doctors who didn't give vitamin C, but instead just gave conventional treatments. Cameron's terminal patients lived far longer compared to the ones who didn't get the 10 grams of C a day. The other patients lived an average of 6 months after they were pronounced terminal, while Cameron's patients lived an average of about 6 years. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Guys, listen to me for a second. The people who did not receive the vitamin C lived an average of about 6 months. The ones who got the vitamin C lived an average of about 6 years. This is research from Linus Pauling that's been basically hidden. He goes on to say, Linus, this is quoting him, more recently, I've been collaborating with Dr. Huffer, a physician in Victoria, British Columbia, in Canada. Huffer has treated over 300 cancer patients and has recommended all of them essentially the same vitamin C as Cameron. But about a quarter of the third of the patients didn't follow the treatment for one reason or another. And the family doctor might have said that those high doses of vitamins would kill them, or the patient might have a stomach upset or not want to continue taking the vitamins. The terminal cancer patients who didn't follow Hoffman's regime had a survival time of only about 6 months, but the ones who followed his therapy basically lived for 12 years. 12 years. In other words, they got better. As far as I'm concerned, Hoffman's regime included 12 grams of C. He also included vitamin E, which is an antioxidant. Also, niacin, which is a B vitamin, and large doses of other B vitamins, and vitamin A. Now, I would also add on there turmeric I would also add on their iodine. I'd add on their D3K2, along with the vitamin C IVs, as far as building that immune system. For some time, Cameron and I said that every patient with cancer, beginning as soon as in the course of the disease as possible, I'm quoting Linus Pauling, should be taking 10 grams of vitamin C as an adjunct to appropriate conventional therapy. I now say, along with Hoffer, that every patient with cancer beginning as early as the course of the disease as possible should be taking 12 or more grams of vitamin C and vitamin E and selenium and other antioxidants. I think that Hoffer's regime is one that his cancer patients should know about. Now, guys, why am I saying this and why am I talking? Why am I quoting Linus Pauling? This is, again, has turned into esoteric information in the mainstream medicine. People don't talk about this anymore. Nobody wants to talk about what happens with vitamin C. Nobody wants to talk about what happens with vitamins if you get them in high kind of concentration. The biggest problem that I've seen with people who come to the office or people who call us up or whatever, people in general who don't even know who Health Masters is, who we find out later and we talk to them, is that number one, they're taking supplements that basically are junk with calcium carbonate and all kinds of crazy stuff added to them and binding agents. Number two, they're not getting high enough dosing. In other words, they're not getting high enough concentrations. They'll say, well, I don't feel good today. I'm going to take 100 milligrams of vitamin C. And you go, well, that's not enough to do anything. That's not a threshold dosing. It doesn't do anything. So you have to increase the dosing. Let your body – vitamin C, again, is water-soluble. Let your body figure out how much it needs. If Linus Pauling says 10 – he took 10 grams a day until he was like 93 years old. Now, you have to break that up throughout the day because it's really rough on the intestinal tract and it will cause diarrhea and cause some cramping in the intestinal. Now, our product is a buffered ascorbate C. The one that we use is a calcium ascorbate C, which he recommended. And that product is phenomenal because you're able to take a large amount of it without any problems. I know with me, if I get like a cough or a cold and it tries to settle in my lungs, I'll bump my vitamin C up to at least 7,500 milligrams a day. And I try to take about 3,000 to 4,000 every day anyhow. But, you know, when you take a lot of vitamins, you take a lot of vitamins, right? And so, but I bump it up whenever I have a problem with like a cough or congestion, and invariably it clears it up. Now, I used to go in, if I started getting that cough or congestion, and I'd go in and get a vitamin C IV. But the local provider of the vitamin C IVs, basically, he died, and someone else took over the practice, and the price has gone up. And so I'm like, well, you know, $100, $110 for vitamin C when I could just swallow a couple of pills for a few dollars or whatever, it doesn't make any sense. So that's why I'll do the vitamin C IV if I have to, but I prefer to stay with the capsules because it's a lot less money and a lot easier than sitting there for 2 hours having vitamin C trickled into your arteries very, 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 very slowly. By the way, Breitbart says that Amazon is on a – this is Bakari – that Amazon is on a digital book-burning spree, and that is absolutely the truth. Under pressure from left-wing journalists and activists, Amazon is purging right-wing authors from its store, including a book co-authored by English Islam critic and independent commentator Tommy Robinson. The web retail giant has become the dominant prominent market player in sales of books, accounting for over 50% of physical and 83% of e-sales books such as on Amazon. 83% of e-book sales are on Amazon. These numbers are insane. And basically, Amazon began its new round of purges by targeting white nationalist fringe. That would be me, I guess. In February, the tech giant banned a number of books from white identitarian Jared Taylor, and the book called The White Nationalist Manifesto by Greg Johnson. I'm not familiar with these guys, and they may be some weirdos. So I don't want to be associated with these guys, so I don't know what they believe. The following bans on Holocaust revisionist books in 2017. It's not a Holocaust revisionist book, some of these books are. They're like asking a question like, you know, what are the real numbers and how were they documented, that kind of stuff. And also the Bad War has been yanked off Amazon, which is critical of the mainstream narrative of what happened in World War II. By the way, I've read that book. It is excellent. You can get it for free as a PDF. The author got so mad, he went ahead, when they pulled it off, he just posted it online for free. You can get a free PDF of The Bad War. I read it. It gives you a lot of insight. And I'm not saying I agree with the whole thing. I'm not, because I don't. But a lot of it is exactly what my mom, who was there in Germany during World War II and watched the B-17 bombers fly over and bomb their neighborhoods. She saw it. She was there. She told me these things happened, and the book basically clarified what she said. And a lot of what she said was exactly what was in the book, which I found interesting. So my mom used to always say to me, Austin, when we were young, we'd be in history, and we'd come home, and I'd like in eighth grade, and I'd say, well, we learned about World War II today. And I'd come in, and I'd start talking to her about World War II. And she goes, yep. She'd say, yeah, some of it's true. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean some of it's true? She goes, it's not the whole truth. Some of that did happen. That's true. But that's not the whole truth. you have to understand where we were and what happened with the Versailles Treaty and all the other things that happened that promoted all of this crazy stuff that Germany got itself into getting rid of the central banks. And all of this stuff that we talk about with my mom, it talks about in the book. So I'm telling myself, well, okay, there has to be something here because my mom was there. She's a first-hand witness. And, oh, you have no idea, guys. She died 13 years ago. How I would like to sit down now, if she was still mentally acute, and talk to her and say, okay, let's talk about this. And who I really would have liked to have talked to, because he used to talk about it a lot more, was my Opa, my grandfather. He was born like 1886 in Germany. He saw the entire, you know, he saw the Kaiser, he saw the rise of World War One, he saw the rise of World War Two. I mean, he saw everything. It was so funny. I'm going to say this and I'll drop this topic because I'm starting to ramble. We were outside one day, it was in 1970 or 1969, and we just had Neil Armstrong go to the moon. And my Opa was outside with me. He looked up at the sky and he says, I said, Opa, what do you think about this? We've had a man on the moon. He said, Ich glaube das nicht, which means I don't believe it. And he says, I don't believe it. He says, I don't believe that's possible. Because remember, Opa, basically remember, when he was young, it was the train and horseback and carriages. Now, some people got around. And he had seen that entire technology advance over 100 years. What an incredible time to be long, to be alive. He lived to be 86 years old. And it's funny now we have all these other people that are saying that moon thing that we were involved in the 60s was a giant propaganda campaign to basically try to put the Soviet Union in its place as far as a world power. Now, people always ask me, Ted, do you think we've been to the moon? Well, my response is always absolutely yes. Do you think we got there in Apollo? I got a lot of questions about Apollo. Austin, what do you think, buddy? What's your next story?
No doubt about it. Definitely some crazy stuff. Also, too, in other news, as we know, the EPA and the FDA and all these alphabet agencies are extremely severely compromised, as we have seen that. Well, now a shocking new analysis from a peer-reviewed science journal, Environmental Science Europe, reveals that the U.S. EPA contorted evidence on glyphosate toxicity, ignoring scientific proof that Monsanto's herbicide causes oxidative stress, DNA damage, and cancer. This is a pretty horrible research study on EPA as far as showing you how they don't care about the American population, nor does the FDA. Any of these guys, from what we're seeing now, they are 100% deep state globalist alphabet agencies that only do whatever they're told to do and support whatever gives them most money. The International Agency for Research on Cancer did a review independent studies that linked glyphosate to cancer in humans. Now, this study was done by the international agency. This is international. So this is a global research study done on glyphosate. This was done around the same time that the EPA allegedly did their research study to gather their evidence about glyphosate, back when they were trying to figure out whether or not it was safe for human consumption and to use on plants that people can eat. Well, the international agency did review on independent studies. Both agencies, the EPA and the International Agency for Research on Cancer, took different approaches when determining glyphosate risk to humans. The EPA relied on research conducted by the agrochemical industry, mainly Monsanto at the time, to determine that glyphosate is not carcinogenic. The IARC examined independent Canadian, Swedish, U.S. studies on human health effects, which include assays on genotechnology. After reviewing 118 different assays, the IARC scientists concluded that glyphosate causes genotoxicity, leading to mutations in DNA and cancer. As such, the scientists classified glyphosate as probably carcinogenic in humans. Now, of course, the EPA contends that glyphosate is not carcinogenic whatsoever because, of course, they relied solely on Monsanto's own research, did not investigate genotechnology, and reviewed less than half the studies that the IARC scientists evaluated. The EPA did not find a connection between glyphosate and cancer because they cherry-picked Registry Commission unpublished regulatory studies that 99% all echoed the exact same results. The EPA's evaluation only looked at the risk. Listen, the EPA evaluation only looked at the risk of assumed legal glyphosate exposure, but did zero testing on assessment of real-life occupational exposures and true risk from glyphosate. The scientists from the IRC showed no bias in their evaluation and relied mostly on peer-reviewed studies. Of the studies, 70% or 83 of them revealed significant glyphosate toxicity. By investigating the effects of the glyphosate-based herbicides, IRRC was able to determine glyphosate's real-life exposure to humans, as the EPA did not, because they essentially did research only that the Monsanto would give them, so to speak. So another perfect example of why it is so important to get rid of the GMO foods out of your diet. This stuff is toxic. It changes your DNA. It causes epigenetics, which we have seen in numerous studies now. Toxic compounds in your body. Keep them out of your diet the best you can. And I know, guys, it's hard because this stuff is so rampant in the United States now with the food being exposed to it at almost every angle. But it's so important to do the best you can to support local farmers that you know don't use this stuff on their food, and try to get certified organic food as much as possible and stay away from the boxed food, the microwave food, the packaged food, because pretty much my research done, if it's not certified USDA organic, if it's in a box, if it's packaged, it's 99.9% guaranteed it's contaminated with glyphosate with at least some of the food that's in there, if not all of it, Dad.
Also, Austin, a lot of stuff in these packages, when you test them, they're contaminated with aspartame. And you think, well, why isn't that listed on the label? Because a lot of people don't use aspartame anymore. And so it's weird. And other compounds in the foods, how do you know you're not getting hydrogenated oils? How do you know what's on the label is on the label? I mean, it's bad enough with the USDA certified organic. You don't really know for sure if that's correct. But usually you can tell by the way it looks and by the way it tastes. But guys, Austin's right. It's just bad. The other day I had a guy come over, a friend of mine's son, about 23 years old, about 6'5" and about, 280 pounds and about 60 pounds of body fat. I mean, he's pretty chunky. He's got probably a 46-inch waist. I mean, he's fat. He's clinically obese is what he is. And he basically asked me, he goes, his dad used to be a bodybuilder. And his dad's up to about 350 and about 6 foot tall and in horrible shape. I mean, he's probably got a 54-inch waist. And, and he said, well, I've asked my dad, over and over and over again how to get lose his body fat. And I said, your dad doesn't know. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, if he knew, he wouldn't weigh 350 pounds. He wouldn't be obese. He doesn't know. And he goes, how do you do it? I said, well, and then his dad speaks up and goes, oh, well, I know you have to eat 70% carbohydrates and 20% protein and 10% fat. I said, dude, that's the swine fattening feed diet. 70% carbs. Are you joking me? So I looked at his son and I said, here's the deal. Everybody listen to me. I'm going to give you a little secret here. Very, very secret. This is a little secret. If you're 100 pounds overweight, here's the secret to losing weight. Number one, you got to get rid of high glycemic carbohydrates. What does that mean? You got to get rid of bread, pasta, rice, potatoes. You've also got to get rid of dairy products, except for a little bit of butter is okay, but you got to get rid of all milk products. Got to get rid of all bread products. Can't eat pizza. Okay, you can't eat pepperoni pizza loaded with cheese. Okay, that's all gone. You can't drink sodas. You can't have things with high fructose corn syrup. You can't have all that stuff. So you have to avoid high glycemic foods. So he said, well, how do you make that simple? I said, it's simple. Here's the simple technique to losing 100 pounds. Eat six meals a day if you want to weigh 200 pounds, multiply that by 10, that's 2,000 calories a day, divide that by 6, that's around 300 calories per meal, about 325, 350 calories per meal, and stay with low glycemic carbohydrates. And here's how you make it very simple. Get organic chicken, free-range chicken, and organic vegetables with no corn, and pretty much eat as much as you want. Have two or three small chickens a day, and have two or three or four packs of organic vegetables a day. Have them, break them into little bitty meals, have them six times a day. If you can only do three meals a day, you can do three meals a day. And that's it. Then he starts asking me, what about bread? I said, what, did you not listen to me? I just told you what to eat. He says, it's a very boring diet. It's basically a contest prep diet is what it is for if you're a bodybuilder. Just eat chicken and vegetables and make sure the chicken is grilled or baked and not deep fat fried and pull the skin off of it. He goes, well, that sounds boring. I said, it is boring, but it's very easy, and it works really well. And then if you really want to drop some body fat, you throw the HGH stimulant in, two scoops in the morning and two scoops at night before you go to bed, and don't eat for 3 hours before you go to bed. Very, very important. Burn fat like crazy, increase human growth hormone production. And then, of course, you can take your vitamin C and the E and the D and the multiple and all that kind of stuff too. But, and your CLA, and you can take the coconut oil because it's, you know, it's fat, a tablespoon or two tablespoons of that a day. That helps burn belly fat like crazy. And I said, the next time I see you, I said, you won't weigh 280 pounds again. I said, you'll drop about 2 pounds a week eating a lot of food, a lot of food, and you'll be down to about, if I see you in 10 weeks, you'll be down 20 pounds. If I see you in 30 weeks, you're going to be down 60 pounds. And I said, if I see you 5 or 6 months from now, you're going to be down to where you need to be, and you'll be all, you'll have a six pack. He goes, is it that easy? I said, it really is that easy. I said, but it's not that, I said, it's that simple, but it's not that easy. It's a carbohydrate reduction diet as far as glycemics. Now, but you've got to maintain carbohydrates in your diet. And also, by the way, he said, what do I drink? And I said, distilled water. And you have to use a distiller or you use reverse osmosis water. He said, what about sodas? What about pops? What about juice? I said, you not listen to me? Are you not listening? I said distilled water or reverse osmosis water. Half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 280 pounds, you drink 140 ounces of distilled water a day. You drink it throughout the day so you don't have to get up all night and use the bathroom. You sip on it all day long. Maintain hydration. I said, your body will start losing weight. It'll start holding some water. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself really urinating one day, and you'll lose like a pound of water. And all of a sudden, you'll lose another pound of weight. So that's how it works on the weight loss cycles. And that's how you burn body fat, maintain lean muscle weight, because you need to be training when you're working out. You need to be working out when you're doing this. And then it just basically gets really simple. And I said, the key is you don't work out with heavy weight. You don't have to use heavy weight. You have to use high intensity, but you got to be careful with your age and your heart and what kind of condition you're in. Like I said, I looked at his father and I said, now your dad here, he can't do this anymore because this will overload his heart because he's in his 60s. And I said, he's allowed himself to get 150 pounds overweight. I said, he can't go out and do a high intensity workout. He'd probably have a heart attack. I said, but you're still in your 20s. You can do that. I said, start off with really light squats. I said, never use more than 45 pounds on a squat. He goes, that's nothing. I said, well, let me tell you how you do it. You start off with 25 reps in one day with parallel with a 45-pound bar, if you can do that. If you can't do that, you start off with a broomstick with no weight. And then you hold a plate on your chest for 10 pounds. And you build yourself up to the 45 so you can do 25 reps in one set. When you get to 25 reps in that set, you build it up so you can do it a couple times a week, maybe three times a week. And you build it up to two sets of 25, four sets of 25, eight sets of 25, four sets of 50, two sets of 100. And I said, now your legs aren't going to get big doing that, but they're the largest muscle group in the body, and boy, are they going to burn fat. And you will literally melt body fat off, especially if you take it with the HGH stimulate. I said, even if you don't work out and do anything else, if you don't work out with another muscle, just doing those squats three times a week, you'll maintain lean muscle mass, and you'll get bigger and stronger. Now, if you throw in some incline benches, and I said, if you really want to get big shoulders, if your shoulders are in good shape and you don't have any problems with the rotator cuff, you can superset behind the neck press, bring it to the front, to the back, each rep. If your shoulders are good, not if your shoulders are bad, and you can superset it with upright rows, and you can do like four sets of those, like 12 reps each, so you'd be total of eight sets. They're called the giant superset. And I said, you'll have huge shoulders on top of everything else. As you lose the weight, your shoulders will look bigger and your waist looks smaller. He goes, well, this is all very simple. I said, yeah, it's simple. I said, the problem is most people don't know how to do it. And see, this is what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about lifestyle choices and food choices. So when Austin says to you, hey, look, you really want to limit glyphosate. You really want to not put this poison into your liver. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, because why do you want cancer on top of everything else you're dealing with right now? Why do you want cancer? We're the blessed of the Lord. We're not supposed to have these sicknesses and diseases come upon us. Monsanto's own research in the 70s and the 80s, received by the Freedom of Information Act, said that their product caused cancer, like 12 different types of cancer. They knew that it caused cancer. They didn't care. They knew they could make hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars globally, on this product over the period of the next 40, 50 years. And even if they had to pay out $100 billion in lawsuits, it wouldn't make any difference. They would have made so much more than that that it doesn't matter. You see, this is how these sickos think. If they think that an airbag is going to fail and it's going to kill 20 people, or it's going to cost X amount of hundreds of millions of dollars to do a recall, or they can spend $10 million on killing people, they kill the people. This is what has happened to our American industry. It doesn't think about people. It thinks about profit. It doesn't put people ahead of profit. It always puts profit ahead of people, regardless of the consequences. And this is what's so aggravating to me with the manufacturing of vaccines in this country, that they have no liability and no exposure for their actions. They can lie, cheat, steal, do whatever they want, and they can get away with it. And like Austin said, the EPA is using flawed research, documenting the flawed research as real evidence, ignoring the double-blind clinical studies that are being done from independent research labs, and taking the research from these different corporations saying their product is safe. Aspartame did the same thing to get their product approved back in the 70s and the 80s. This is what they do and how they constantly do it. And this is the poison they put into our food supply and our water supply with the fluorine and the chlorine and all the garbage they dump into the water. Be very careful what you put in your bodies, guys. Guys, what do you think, Oz?
Oh, no question about it. It's so important. That's why we talk about it so much here on the show. I mean, that's why we bring you guys this news, this articles, these topics, and that's why we bring some of this stuff up repeatedly. It's not because we forget we talk about these topics. Trust me, it's not. We have all kinds of different topics and articles and stuff we have printed off every day, but these are some very, very key important topics, because the thing about this is I cannot drill it and stress it into anybody's head anymore. Dad said the same thing for decades. I've said the same thing for the last 10, 15 years. Your health is your responsibility. We have to reacquire that in the United States again. We have to start becoming self-sufficient for what we have. We've come to this generation now to where we think it doesn't matter what we eat, what we drink, what we do, what we smoke, nothing matters. All we have to do is go to the doctor, he'll give us a pill, and everything's going to be better. And that has put us into the worst health, worst death rate, worst medical industrial complex, worst health care system as far as let's cut and chop and remove organs at any point in time in this country than we've ever been before. We have some of the most advanced medicine, some of the most advanced tools, some of the most advanced research known to man, yet we have an unbelievably horrible health in the United States. Why is that? Because we no longer are focused on being healthy. We're no longer focused on our children and our family being healthy. We're simply focused on how much sugar, how much carbs, how much crap can I put in my body and get away without dying, and go to the doctor and have him give me a pill and fix me all of a sudden. That's the only thing we seem to focus on anymore in this country. What gives us the most instant pleasure immediately? How far can we take it where we don't die? And then how cheap can we go to the hospital for and have the doctor fix it? Because we all want cheap medical care. And I get it. I understand. The medical industrial complex, the insurance industrial complex out of control. But a lot of it is because we have allowed ourselves, as a civilization in this country now, to be fully brainwashed into believing that doctors are God Almighty incarnate, and they have the ability to fix us, heal us, protect us at any point in time, and we don't have any consequences, nor do we have any responsibility to ourselves or our children. And I get it. Everybody's going to make mistakes. You're going to eat things here, drink things here. There's not going to be things you're going to put in your body sometimes that are going to be absolutely healthy. I got that. I'm not perfect either. So I'm not trying to paint some halo over my head and say, hey, I eat organic chicken and broccoli every single day, every meal, 8 times a day, 365 days a year, and that's all I eat. I don't. I mean, occasionally, you know, once every 3 or 4 months, I may eat a cheeseburger if I'm really craving one. I'm not going to lie. I've done that before. Do I do it regularly? Absolutely not. Is it something that I enjoy when I do it? Absolutely, because I rarely ever do it. That's how your diet has to start becoming. You have to start having more of a 80-20 split instead of a 20-80 split. What I mean by that is 80% of your food needs to be extremely healthy, and 20% of your food can be moderate. The problem with most people's diets nowadays is it's a 20-80. 80% of what they eat is garbage, McDonald's, Taco Bell, grade D dog food on a regular basis, and then they'll go out and eat 10 or 20% healthy food on a rare occasion, and they go, oh, I ate healthy today. I ate chicken and green beans tonight. I ate healthy. And then 7 or 10 days later, they continue to eat more garbage, more garbage, more garbage, more garbage, and when they feel bad. It has to be a consistent behavioral change. It can't be something like I'm going on a diet right now to eat clean. And get it, you can cut calories down. You can change carbohydrate intake. Those are all important if you're trying to lean up. But for your overall daily health intake, it needs to be as clean as possible, as much as you can, and it needs to be the rarity when you cheat on a meal and eat something that's garbage and not the regular thing that you do on a regular basis. So just something I really want to add on there, because Dad had some great info as well. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I want to bring up real quick because it's starting to become very prevalent. Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge talked about this over in the UK right now with the AI monitoring employees. This is a topic I wanted to bring up because this just affected me here recently with UPS. I'll get into that in a second. They're saying now that in the UK, businesses are using what is called the Isaac system, and it's an AI analysis system to which staff are basically monitored, regulated, and they go through an entire protocol and algorithm to monitor what they're doing. Designed by a London-based company, Status Today, the system pinpoints certain individuals within a network to better allocate workloads, responsibilities, ultimately, allegedly, improving the overall workplace environment, reducing stress and workforce. Thus far, Isaac has gathered data on more than a billion actions. They said the computer can compare activity data with qualitative assessments of workers from personnel files or sales performance figures to give managers a detailed picture of how behavioral affects output. They said it promises real-time insight into each employee, their position within the organizational network, but workers do not automatically have a right to see the data, which is controlled by the employer. Critics say workers are now being under mind-numbing pressure to constantly perform of fear of being singled out by the AI. They said if performance targets are not being fine-tuned, are they being fine-tuned by the AI, your progress towards them being measured by the AI will only multiply the pressure. People are being deemed not worked hard enough if they take their hands off the keyboard for 5 minutes. Now, what's part of crazy of this is Isaac is part of what experts have labeled as a precision economy in which every action of an individual is measured, analyzed for peak efficiency. Now, you can see from a efficiency standpoint, from a cost-benefit analysis, this can be very beneficial in a large corporation, obviously, because you can go in and you can kind of monitor and see who are the most aggressive employees, who are the most efficient, who's slacking. And you can kind of judge accordingly as far as maybe bonus pay, whether people get promoted, and so forth. I got that. But what we're starting to do now is we're no longer just doing spreadsheets and algorithms. We're now allowing artificial intelligence to come in and dictate, monitor, and ultimately prevent people from doing certain positions and having other people do certain positions because the AI deems it to be slightly more efficient based on their algorithm. The problem with this is, and back to what I talked about before, I just had an incident with UPS last week. Perfect example. My UPS truck driver, he's been with us for 4 years. Excellent guy. I love him. He hustles hard. He always takes care of me. If he's got stuff and I need it, he'll even meet up with me early in the morning so I can get it first thing in the morning. Well, I came into work last Thursday early in the morning, and there were about 12 huge boxes from one of our suppliers on our front deck, which I couldn't figure it out because UPS always delivers at about noon. So we got them in there. We got them loaded up. I got Ruben in here. We all got them unloaded. I thought, okay. So I was on the phone, and our driver came in again that same day, and he said, hey, I have my truck full of your boxes, but I can't deliver them until 8 o'clock tonight. So I'm sorry. I'll be back to deliver them at 8 o'clock tonight. And then he left, and I was on the phone, or else I would have straight up pitched a fit, quite frankly, and called my rep. Well, as soon as he left, I got off the phone. Ruben told me that, and I said, so he has our boxes on our truck. He just picked up, but he's coming back later on tonight to deliver when our business is closed because that's what they're telling him to do. And he said, yeah. So I called up my main rep, John, at the UPS, basically corporate, and I just unloaded on him. I said, what the heck are y'all doing? Why are my boxes, which is a significant amount of inventory, being left outside all night when they're on a truck that's already making a stop here to pick up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon? He said, I don't know. This is crazy. Let me call you back. So, sure enough, he gets on the phone. He calls me back about 30 minutes later, and he goes, I'm really sorry. He goes, what's happened is we had another bean counter come in and install a new AI algorithm software. It basically figured out that Chris, our driver, was not being quite as efficient as he could have been, and they found it to be more efficient if they switched his route, almost completely turned it on its head, to where some businesses are getting delivered later at night so he can deliver other businesses earlier and other residential earlier based on his entire route on mileage. So it's cheaper for us to make him work 11 or 12 hours a day and pay him overtime, have your boxes delivered later at night, instead of having the regular schedule happen with a few less boxes on his truck. Essentially what happened was they took his delivery work from about 100 to 120 boxes a day, and they dropped about 160 boxes on his route, to the point where he was working about 11 to 12 hour shifts for those couple days the algorithm worked. And I told John, I said, do you understand how horrible that is as a individual who's working? He leaves at 7 o'clock in the morning before his kids get up. He gets home at night at 9 o'clock when his kids are already in bed, all because you guys have deemed that it's going to save you about $3 to $4 a day in fuel and time to put more boxes on his route, not to mention give me some of the worst service I've ever had from UPS in my entire life by delivering a significant amount of inventory, cost-wise, to the front door outside of my office at 8 o'clock at night where it can be stolen. He goes, I completely understand. We already fixed it. It's changed. It's not going to happen again. We backed out and deleted the entire algorithm that uploaded into a system, and we made sure all the management understands your concerns. It will not happen again. And so he got addressed. They fixed it, which was great. But I thought to myself, what would have happened if I wouldn't have done that? They would have continued to do what they were doing to save a couple dollars because their AI algorithms deemed it to be slightly more efficient, when in reality, it really wasn't efficient at all, because not only did it overwork their employee, it hacked a very good customer off, and it compromised a significant amount of inventory at my office by leaving it outside all night, and that was just one stop. Imagine how many other stops were compromised with this AI software that is now being embedded into so many different companies, all because it's going to make things more efficient and more effective, when in reality, they do not and cannot do the same job as a human being, because everything is based on digits, algorithms, and how they perceive it from a computer standpoint, and not an entire outlook from a human being standpoint. This is why I have been so against AI software, AI vehicles, AI algorithms, because can they be efficient at sometimes? Yes. Are they always, from what I have seen? No. They make things more efficient from a dollar standpoint, but they severely compromise business tactics, relationships, families, and overall employees in the long run. The same thing Amazon has been doing for years now with their AI software, where they completely make it unbelievably difficult for employees to have any type of morale at their business at Amazon, because they're constantly on top of them because they're trying to meet projected AI numbers that the algorithm says they should hit, when in reality, in some places, it may not be physically possible to do so and maintain a healthy morale. But I just want to kind of bring that up because I experienced this firsthand, and now seeing this in the UK, Amazon, eBay, UPS, all of them now are starting to take this algorithm, and it's going to come back to bite us in the butt. I'm going on record right now with that, Dad.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, now Walmart is bringing in robots to do the floors, count shelves, mm-hmm. look at inventory. I mean, this was happening with the AI. Okay, put your seatbelt on. I'm going to cover a few stories really quick. Chinese government is now offering a $1,500 bounty to informants who identify leaders of Christian house churches. In other words, they're paying you $1,500 to narc out Christians so they can shut the churches down and probably send the leaders of the church to one of their, speculation on my part, organ collection facilities. Just thought I'd mention, I'm not talking about church organs either. I'm talking about human organs like kidneys and livers. But Illinois' House passes a bill requiring women, African Americans, on corporate boards. In other words, it doesn't matter what the education is. It doesn't matter whether they have an MBA. It doesn't matter whether or not they know what to do on a corporate board. The Illinois House has now passed a bill. This reminds me so much of Atlas Shrugged, requiring women who are African Americans on corporate boards. Wow. Has to be on by 2021. You guys can look it up online, see what you think. I'll post it on the Health Masters website as far as news stories. Another one. If President Trump is putting American last, is President Trump putting America last? Tucker Carlson shows that President Trump has dropped his America First agenda. In fact, he's doing the opposite of what he promised in 2016. Carlson cites the six actions that Trump should take if he wanted to lose the 2020 election. And these include proposing an $800 billion cut to Medicare, proposing a cut to the E-Verify program that discourages employers from hiring illegal aliens, expanding the foreign worker program, releasing drug dealers from prison, and continuing the war against Syria, which of course he's doing, and proposing an increase in gas tax. Trump has done all of these things. That's right. Oh, by the way, Ann Coulter was also hammering Trump just a few months ago. Suddenly, you guys notice she's been eerily silent and doesn't say anything else. What happened to Ann? Here's another article. It belongs to the people, not to the bankers. The Italian politicians want to seize the gold from the country's central Rothschild-controlled bank. Good luck with all of that. Tijuana drug war rages. 21 people were murdered in less than 48 hours in a grisly fashion.
Wow.
To make a statement to the living. Most of the bloodshed is related to drug cartel war turfs. Here's the best one so far. Atlanta mayor welcomes the drag queen story hour at City Hall after the library pulls support from the drag queen gay weirdo hour with young children. But Atlanta mayor has said, oh, yeah, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. We'll have fun with all of this, and we'll basically continue to compromise. And for those of you who used to watch Smallville, Allison Mack of Smallville has now pleaded guilty in the NXIVM sex trafficking case. She has basically pleaded guilty as far as the sex slave stuff, but she's done racketeering and a few other things she pleaded guilty to. I think she's trying her best to get no jail time and to testify against Brofman, who was also involved in this, in which they would put tattoos on women and create sex slaves. And California, LA Times, Sacramento wants to add a tax on sodas, on tires. I'm talking on top of taxes. This isn't sales tax. They want an additional tax to soda, tires, guns, water. Make sure you get the water tax. Pain pills, lawyers, and car batteries. They want to tax your attorneys. It never ends in California. The perfect example of a failed socialist communist state. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. It's been a great health show today. I love you guys. I had the privilege to pray for you again today. I pray that God just continues to bless you, that his face shines upon you, that he's merciful on you, that he grants you peace, grace, mercy, love, and prosperity. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for giving that magnesium brain food a try. You guys absolutely rock the planet. I love you so much. God bless you. Austin, I'll close it up. Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. And if you guys, like I said earlier in the earlier article that I brought up, if you or you know anybody that has tinnitus, give this brain food a try and see if it works. And please give me some feedback, send me some emails, write a review on the website, whatever you want to do. I'm very, very curious on this right now, because this is something, like I said, I have dealt with for years with customers, and I have not been able to fix it a lot of times. And now this is something that I think, if this works, this is going to be amazing for so many people that have had this problem for years and just simply had to live with it, as far as the magnesium brain food getting rid of the tinnitus. So be sure to check that out and spread the word for anybody, because this is a really cool research study that finally just came out on it. Be sure, if you need anything else, give us a call at healthmasters.com. You can call us at 1-800-726-1834 for any of your health, nutrition needs. And be sure to check out all the different specials we have right now, like the prostate support on sale for product of the week. That will be going on sale till tomorrow, until the new product wins, whichever one that one is. Be sure to go on the website and vote for which product you want to win, because we almost have a tie right now between the CBD Magnesium Body Balm and the vitamin C capsule. Speaking of what I was just talking about earlier, those two are neck and neck. The CBD Body Balm is 60 votes, and the vitamin C is 59 votes, and we still have an entire another day before the voting closes on the website. So as you guys know, this is totally organic. I don't touch anything on it. You can only vote for one time per IP address, so one computer, that's it. You can't go on and vote 20 times on the same computer. So you can go on, check that out, vote for who you want to win, give us your feedback. Thank you for your support. Please spread the word. Be sure to send out our show to anybody if you like it. We send it, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. Sign up for it. We'll send you the show right to your email, and you can forward it straight from there. We appreciate your support. Everybody stay awake, stay alert. It's April. As you guys know from history over the last 30 years, April has been a very interesting month for a lot of stuff, a lot of incidences. So be sure to stay awake. As always, keep a bag with you. I always do in my truck. Always keep something that you can get home with 72 hours worth of tools, supplies, food, water, etc. Always in your vehicle at all times. That's just my personal preference on it. So I appreciate you guys. Stay frosty. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.